Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 23rd chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text which has already been read. You know, if you procrastinate, you know that there's a reason why you procrastinate. Procrastinate, it means to put something off, and there's a reason why we put things off. Sometimes we wait because waiting is in fact in order. Waiting is the good and right thing to do. Maybe we need to sometimes think this thing through or see how this thing's going to play out. Sometimes God waits, not because he needs to think it through, but maybe sometimes God needs to see how this thing is going to play out. He's dealing with humans, after all, God is the most unpredictable of all creatures, the humans. Animals are fairly predictable. They generally do the same things in the same way at the same times. Deer are behaving the way that deer always have behaved. And for the most part, your cows and your pigs and your dogs, they're pretty predictable. And a lot of wild animals, on the other hand, you can count on them to be unpredictable. Humans are pretty predictable. And God may sometimes wait because waiting is in order. The psalmist talks about waiting on the Lord for us, and it's a good thing, but God does not procrastinate. He waits, but he does not procrastinate. We procrastinate because not all space is the same. We procrastinate because not all time is the same. There are some places you want to be there. Those are good places. Want to be there. Other places, bad places, not so much. And some times are good. And we'll talk about good times. Other times, we'll say those were hard times. Not all time and space is the same, so we may procrastinate for that reason. If I had memory work to do for confirmation class when I was a kid, we met on Saturday mornings, so I would do my memory work in the car on the way to class, and it was like a 1 minute drive. Same with Sunday school memory work, same with homework. And it was my chore in the evening after supper to take the garbage out. And that garbage could sit on that counter for a long time, me thinking about it. And I would procrastinate. What was I thinking about? Well, I had to walk that garbage through the yard, across the driveway, and on the other side of the driveway there were stickers. So am I going to put my shoes on, which takes time, or just deal with the stickers? And that's what I was thinking about when I was procrastinating about the garbage. And there were three men in that space called Golgotha at that time that we call Good Friday. And that was not a good place to be in at that particular time. As you know, the three men were hanging on three crosses. They were being executed. That means they were being killed because a judge had sentenced them to be killed because of crimes committed by them. These days, it's not a common form of punishment. Iowa has not executed anybody since 1965. We call it capital punishment, and we used to do it all the time. The British famously had their so-called bloody law code, things you could be executed for. And in the 19th century, there were a lot of things that could get you executed in England. Whatever number you're thinking, think higher. 222 things in Victorian England could get you executed. And the Romans in the time of Jesus were more like that. You could be ordered by a judge, like Pontius Pilate, for example, to be hung on a cross until you died for a lot of different reasons. Not all men are the same. And these three men who shared in common that particular space and time up on Golgotha, they were all different. They were likely different in the way that we are all different, but the Bible doesn't care about that. The Bible does care about their different postures, the different postures of those three men towards God. The penitent, he may or may not have been a thief, he is penitent. That's his posture towards God. He's sorry for his sins. The other guy on the other side, there's no evidence that he's penitent, sorry for his sin. In fact, just the opposite. And the third man, the one in the middle, his posture towards God, well, of course, he is God. He is God. And that's an odd place to find God, isn't it? We've gotten used to it. Our theology can be summarized by Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins. But to those two criminals, God was the last person they expected to find in that space at that time. No more than you would look for God in the electric chair or at the end of a hangman's noose. And at first, we know from the other writers, the words of both criminals were directed at the man in the middle. And they were not kind words. They were not kind words. They talked to him like hardened prison inmates talk to other hardened prison inmates. If this were a movie, this event would get a hard R for language and for violence. Crucifixion was a very violent way to kill a man. And we don't know what happened to that one criminal, the penitent, except that at some point he became penitent. He changed. I've seen a lot of people die, mostly in the last 35 years as a pastor. Almost all of them were Christians. And I know full well how Christians die. Christians die peacefully and looking forward to heaven. That's how Christians die. People who don't know Christ, and I don't know as many of them, but I know sort of a lot of times kicking and screaming, cursing God and everybody else. So the parents asked the pastor to go see their son. Their son was in the hospital, dying too young from cancer. That son had been baptized and brought up in the church, but he had fallen away. His parents were concerned for his soul. And if death has a smell, that hospital room smelled of death. And the first thing the dying man said to the pastor, "I'm going to hell. I know it. I know I'm dying, and I know I'm going to hell." And the pastor, he was a Lutheran, reminded the dying man of his baptism and read the word of God and spoke the word of God. And the dying man kept saying, "I wish I could believe that, but I can't. I don't believe in God, and now I'm going to hell." The man had, over the course of many years, talked himself into being an atheist. And nothing was going to dissuade him at his deathbed about that. The atheists, they were in the news again last week. Turns out that atheists, people who don't believe in God, turns out they are not happy people. They are not happy people. And I gotta tell you, in my experience with atheists, talking to them, listening to them, reading what they say, I believe it. They're not happy people. Mentally, in your mind, you have to engage in a lot of logical gymnastics to think that this all just sort of happened. And what you end up doing is coming up with goofy things like evolution. Spiritually, if you think you're an animal, then you think you're an animal. And always I think the lingering doubt, what if there is a God? What if there is a heaven? What if there is a hell, and if it's as bad as they say it is? So whatever happened to the one criminal, the penitent, he changed. He turned from throwing at Jesus every filthy name in the book to first halting that and then telling the other guy to stop it, to going to make this request of Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So he gets in. He gets in barely under the wire, but he does get in. Truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. So whatever happened to that one criminal, he changed from being a mocker of Jesus to being a believer in Jesus. And in that moment, he had been destined to hell for eternity. Now he's going to heaven forever. He's going to die pretty soon. He knows it. And then he dies, and his soul will go immediately and without delay of any kind to the place Jesus describes here as paradise. Paradise. And who doesn't like paradise? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. And you know, if anybody has the authority to make that call, who gets into paradise, it's Jesus, who shortly after this also died. Then he descended into hell, proclaiming in Satan's home his victory over sin, death, and Satan. He rose again on the third day. Then he ascended into heaven, from whence he will come to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom has no end. Yeah, if anybody has the authority to make that call, it's Jesus, who is God. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, you may recognize that term, paradise. Paradise is the place made by God to be lived in and enjoyed by Adam and Eve and their descendants, including you, and paradise was wonderful. But the thing went off the tracks. Eve had that conversation with the snake. Adam stood there like a lump in a log. Paradise, and it was really good, paradise was lost. Now we still can't get an idea of paradise, what it must have been, by looking at God's creation. The athlete, who isn't as good as he used to be, but he's still pretty good. The old car that isn't as good as when it was new, but it's still pretty good. Yesterday's coffee, warmed up, isn't as good as fresh, but it'll still do. God's creation, even after it has been ravaged by man, still a lot of us is still here for us to enjoy. And being in nature, this just in, is a healthy thing. Being in nature tends to make us happy. That's what God's creation does. And when he created, God put all kinds of substances in creation. And they give us brains, sort of like the parent giving the child Legos or Lincoln Logs or paper and paints. Have at it with this stuff. Use those brains, and we have. And a lot of what we create are things that make our lives easier, making things perhaps more like paradise, less like hell. Things like cars, tractors, the dish, computer chip, vacuum cleaners, dishwashers, and on and on and on. But it's not paradise, is it? Not paradise. Paradise was lost, wasn't it? Childbirth is a painful venture. Adam has been called a gentleman farmer before the fall. After the fall, thorns and thistles, and by the sweat of your brow, we grow things. And sometimes the rain comes at all the wrong times, and the like, even in Iowa, and it's been a rough year. Glimpses of paradise, but this isn't paradise. We still have war, where people are hurt and killed, storms and earthquakes where people are hurt and killed, to those daughters of Jerusalem who are weeping and lamenting for Jesus, because probably it looks like this guy is going to die childless. What a shame. To them he says, weep for yourselves and for your children, because things are going to get bad and you'll wish you were dead. That isn't paradise. That isn't paradise. So a guy told me they used to go to Hawaii every winter, but his wife doesn't like the flight. And I'm thinking that's crazy. Thinking that's crazy. 8 hours. A little bit cramped. Take your own food. Take your own entertainment. After 8 hours, 2 weeks of paradise. I'll take that trade-off any day. Like here. A few years in this fallen creation. A few years. And then the new creation, paradise, beyond our wildest imaginations and for eternity. So, of course, what happened to that criminal who was penitent? What happened to him is that he looked to his side and he recognized that he was looking at God. Kind of an odd place to be, for God to be. He recognized that this man was God. Take me to your kingdom. Today you will be with me in paradise. Another odd place for God to be, over there, in with and under the bread and wine. That's where we see God these days. Yeah, life on this earth, not all time is the same. We have good times and happy times. We also have sad times, bad times. Not all space is the same. Some places are good, some places not so good. But whatever happens here for a little while, we know that this thing is going somewhere. And where it's going to paradise for eternity. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.